Some of the great achievements in history have been attributed to human ingenuity. President John F. Kennedy said this about the goal of landing on the moon during his presidency. "We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard." Some achievements in life have been attributed to teamwork. The Allied forces that stormed the beaches on the historic D-Day of World War II were successful not because of any one person or unit. Rather, as one writer puts it, D-Day was made possible because of Allied efforts across all fronts. And while in God's providence even these things were granted by Him, how much more true it is to say that God Himself is the one who fulfills His mission for the church. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "I will build my church. He will build it. He is the master architect and builder. He is the one who gives the growth and increase." This statement by Jesus is monumental. It means that everything involved in church growth isn't ultimately up to us. The purpose of growth, the proof of growth, and the power for growth all come from Christ. None of it comes from us. If we want to be useful instruments in the Master Builder's hands, then it is essential that we pursue growth according to His plan, His blueprint. Today on Delight in the Word, Pastor Paul Tauchus concludes a two-part message from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 18. In it, he continues identifying and explaining several biblical elements of church growth. Let's open our Bibles and ready our hearts as we together delight in the Word.
I like what Douglas Webster writes in his critique of the modern-day church growth movement. He says, "Church history's greatest theologians proclaimed the Word of God as if they were sailing a great ocean spreading to a limitless horizon of God's truth. There was no end to exploring God's truth or delving into its depths. By contrast, today's market-driven pastors invite people poolside to wade in the shallow end. No diving is allowed, and the purpose is purely recreational." That's a pretty sharp critique, but I think it hits the mark. So God has given these provisions for the growth of the church. But he moves on then to explain another element of church growth, and that is the progression of growth. Look at verse 12. How does church growth progress? Well, these gifted men are given for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So there's a threefold progression here. There's the equipping. The word equip is an interesting word. It's actually a medical word. It's a technical medical word that refers to the setting of a bone. The setting of a broken bone in place so that the bone might heal and be useful. It's also used in Matthew 4 of repairing fishing nets, and in Galatians 6 of restoring a brother to proper use. So the responsibility of these leaders, and in particular the responsibility of the teaching shepherds, is to equip the believers in the church to set broken bones so that they are then used by God in the building of His church. It's to equip the people of God for the ministry, and you've heard me say that already several times in the last couple months. But God's purpose and priority for the pastors of this church is to equip you for the work of the ministry, that you might be involved in the ministry. Because every believer is a minister, small m. Every believer is a minister. A minister of the gospel, a minister of the word of God, a minister of love toward one another. But notice, secondly, that equipping leads to service, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So as you are built up in the Word of God, then you are equipped for ministry. What is the work of the ministry? Basically, evangelism and edification. If we want to boil down all ministry, it falls into those categories, evangelism and edification. We take the gospel to the lost and we edify, we build up those who are already saved. And that's not my job only, but that's your job. To take the gospel to the lost. See, when we disperse from this place on Sunday, and then Monday we go to all kinds of different places all over this city, God is taking the gospel into many areas. He's taking us as evangelists to take the gospel to those who need to hear it. And then to edify one another as believers in Christ so that the church is built up. And that's the third progression, for the building up of the body of Christ. That's the goal. The immediate goal is the building up of the body of Christ. The word building up means to edify. It's actually a compound word coming from two words, house and build. So it means to build a house. And in the case of the church, it's talking about the spiritual house. We are the spiritual house of God, as Peter said in 1 Peter 2. We are living stones. So God is building his church by building us up as individual stones. The church is built up and edified and strengthened. We are God's fellow workers, Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And you are God's field, God's building. You, the people of God, you're God's field, you're God's building. God is building his church in and through you. Isn't that exciting? That we can all be a part of that? It's amazing, in my opinion. When I look at my own heart and my own life, I'm amazed that God would be able to use me. And it's all by God's grace that he uses us for his honor and glory to build up his church. See, the Apostle Paul had that driving burden, as he explains in Colossians chapter 1, to present every man complete in Christ. That's what his goal was. His goal was the maturity of believers. That's the progression of growth that we see. But notice the purpose in verse 13. That's the third element. The purpose for growth. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Until we arrive at the goal. That's what Paul is saying. And what's the goal? The goal is the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, what does Paul mean by all that language? Well, he means that maturity in Christ is the goal for the church. That's the goal of discipleship. We've talked about discipleship for many weeks now. We are called to make disciples, to take the gospel to every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet. And to call them to come to Christ. And when they come to Christ, then to build them up in the faith so that they will then be mature. Christ-likeness is the goal. Notice that biblical unity is based upon the faith. To the unity of the faith. Now, that's important the way Paul has written that. It doesn't just say the unity of faith, as if faith was undefined. The modern-day slogan, only believe. And I ask, only believe what? Only believe who? The unity of the faith, the faith. See, anytime that's used in the New Testament, the definite article, the, in front of the word faith, is talking about doctrine. The unity of the faith, that is the body of apostolic doctrine that has been given to us, the church. So part of God's ultimate goal for his church is that believers are united in biblical truth. Sound doctrine unites us. That's why it's so important that we always be a doctrinal church. A church that is teaching the scriptures. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a fullness of knowledge that finds its center in Christ, the Son of God. This is precise faith, precise knowledge defined by the scriptures. And then mature manhood. The growth continues toward the goal that we are mature. The word means complete or full grown. God wants us to be full grown believers. He's not content for us to remain immature. He wants us to grow. That's why the writer of the book of Hebrews reveals a bit of heart frustration when he says in chapter 5, there are some of you who ought to be teachers by now. I mean, considering all of the benefits of the scriptures that have been placed before you, you ought to be teaching by now, but you still need someone to spoon feed you. All of us need to be growing to maturity in Christ. That's part of God's goal for us. And to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That phrase basically is referring to a person coming of age. To the fullness of Christ, to maturity. To the completeness of Christ in all of his virtues and all of his excellencies. That's the purpose for the growth. So, hearkening back to what we said at the beginning, numerical growth isn't specifically a mark of church growth. But spiritual maturity is. Believers who are growing in Christ and becoming mature, that is a definite mark of church growth. And in time, those believers who are maturing will be becoming spiritually reproductive, which then leads to the numerical growth, as God wills. Then let's look fourthly at the proof of growth, verses 14 and 15. It's another element, is the proof of growth. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So doctrinal stability is one of the proofs that a person is maturing in Christ. There's a doctrinal stability. There's a growth in the truth. We're no longer to be children, Paul says. Or literally, infants at the mercy of error. Brand new believers are very susceptible to being led astray. That's why it's so important that they be grounded in the Word of God right away. To be discipled. For a mature believer to come alongside them in that 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 2:2 mentality. Come alongside and disciple and train. We're not to be tossed to and fro. The picture here is of immature believers who are always running after the latest religious trend. They're always running to the Christian bookstore to find the next bestseller. But maturity is growing in doctrine to the point of gaining discernment so that we're not tossed to and fro like a small boat on a very violent sea, but we're stable. And not only are we stable, but we're discerning concerning those who use religion or use Christ, or use Christian terminology to actually deceive and to build their own little kingdoms here on this earth. He says, those who are carried away by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes, by cleverness, by trickery. Deceitful schemes speaks of those who are lying in wait for the naive people. Basically, false teachers who are just lying in wait for spiritually naive people to take up their latest and greatest and newest theology. Paul says they're intentional frauds. I know that sounds harsh, but that's reality. Not all false teachers know they're false teachers. Some really are blind. But some false teachers know they're false teachers. Some know that. It's part of the cunning. It's part of the deceitful scheme. It's part of the fraud. And so Paul says, the way you protect the church and help believers grow is by establishing them on the word of truth, the doctrine of the scriptures, so that they are no longer children. Amen. And that then leads to faithful testimony, verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. See, the word rather is a word of contrast. So unlike the immature who are constantly carried about, blown to and fro, mature believers are committed to the truth. And by the way, notice verse 15. They're committed more to more than just believing the truth, but also to speaking the truth. To speak the truth in love. This is a continual habit of the mature believer. So spiritual maturity is present when a person consistently speaks the truth in a manner that is loving. Speaking the truth in love. So truth is the content and love is the atmosphere. We're to grow up in every way, verse 15. We're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. See, that's the goal. The goal of biblical church growth is that the believers in the church become like Christ. That's the goal. So the more you and I are becoming like Christ, the more we are fulfilling God's plan for growth, church growth. And the more that we grow in the Lord and grow in his word, the more, I believe, the Spirit of God will burden our hearts for the souls of the lost. And we will be not only believers who are committed to edifying one another, but we will be believers who are committed to evangelizing the world, because we will want every lost soul to come and be a part of what we have. And may the Lord so touch our hearts with his grace, that is what we would want. That we would want more than just having a nice Christian family to ourselves. That God would break us out of such self-centered living. And we would see that millions are dying every day without Christ. And we would have been one of them had God not placed a burden on someone else's heart to reach us. So who comes to your mind immediately when you hear words like this? Who is in your life that God wants you to reach with the gospel? Who should you be praying for every day that the Spirit of God will lead them to Christ? And then notice finally, verse 16, the power for growth. I love this because the power is not from us. Church growth, true church growth doesn't come from the clever strategies of men. It comes from the power of God, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow. So the body grows from within. From the power that God has placed within. The body is being joined and held together. That is, the body is knit together. Maybe some of you here like to knit. And you take several strands of yarn and you knit them together into one garment. That's what God is doing. He's knitting all the believers in a church together to make one beautiful garment that displays his grace. And he does this, notice please, verse 16, when each part is working properly. If we're not working properly according to God's giftedness, then we're not helping the church to grow. If we're content to sit and just take it in and not serve, then we're not a part of the process of growth. It's just like our human bodies. If one of the parts of our human body, just one morning we wake up and it just decides, you know what, I just don't feel like doing my job anymore. It won't be long and you'll be seeing the doctor, right? Because every part has to do something so that the body is working. The word working is from the Greek word from which we get our word energy. That's where the energy is. Each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds up itself in love. You know, we had a big event here last night, and I remember commenting at the end of the night, I said, you know what, one of the biggest blessings for me in being here was to see how many people in this church it took to pull this thing off. Because that illustrated for me how the body works. Church growth doesn't happen with just a few people being involved. Church growth happens when every member understands that he or she is a vital part of the life of this body. And that's what makes, look at, the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. One commentator says it really well, I think. The church has been defined as an institution that has truth for its nourishment, love for its atmosphere, and Christ for its head. It's interesting. So Christ is glorified when the church stays true to God's original design. If you look back at chapter 3, look at Paul, his burden. His burden, he knew he was called by God to take the gospel, verse 9, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. I've said this before, I will say it again. The focal point of God's attention in this age is the church. It is in the church that the manifold wisdom of God is displayed to the world. God uses sinners whom he has redeemed by his grace to reflect to the world the life-transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every one of us in this room who has been transformed by that gospel is now a part of what we call church growth. And may the Lord be glorified through what he does through us. Let's pray. Father, we long to see the Lord Jesus exalted among us. He's already exalting himself through the work of the gospel in what he has done in our hearts. But, oh Lord, we don't have much time on this earth to serve, to reach the lost with the gospel. And so, Father, I pray, stir within us an urgency to evangelize, to take the good news to those who have not yet heard of Christ. And then, Lord, also build within us a conviction that the church is a living body, a living organism that only functions the way that you have planned for it to function if each of us is involved. And so, Father, may we reach the world with the gospel and may we serve one another that the church may be built up and that the fullness of the wisdom of God might be seen among us. Glorify yourself through us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. The truths we just heard are precious. Biblical church growth is vital because God's will in this stage of history is to build His church. Every born-again believer of Jesus Christ has a crucial role to play in that. But are we faithful to that call? Pastor Paul put it well when he said that church growth happens when every member understands that he or she is a vital part of the life of this body. Our prayer is that every member of the body of Christ would build up their brothers and sisters in a local church. If you'd like to listen to this message again, you can find the program on our website at delightintheword.org, or you can find the program where you listen to your podcasts. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. In our current series, God's Blueprint for the Church, we're taking a fresh look at Scripture to identify the Bible's convictions concerning the church. We'll continue next time with a message about God's heart for the lost. May the Lord bless you until then as we together delight in the Word.